The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I should say welcome to a continuing episode of the fascinating story of Queen Nefertiti and King Akhenaten. I'm delighted to help unveil the mystery of a civilization long ago blanketed by the sweeping desert sands of the Nile Valley. Because the glory that was Egypt has been dug from the tombs of Tutankhamun and other pharaohs, we today have the wrong impression that those ancients cared more about how they died than how they lived. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Akhenaten, where's my daughter?
She's on her knees, praying. Over there in the temple courtyard. She's been there all day. What else would she be doing in the temple?
That baby. A child of five. On her knees in this roofless temple. All day in this heat. Akhenaten! Daughter! Darling child! Oh, no! Someone come here! Come quickly! Help me!
Drama, The Head with One Eye, based on historic records, written especially for the Mystery Theater by G. Frederick Lewis, stars Tammy Grimes. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Excitement and interest in one particular Egyptian queen who ruled Egypt 14 centuries before Christ would have never begun had it not been for the discovery of an extraordinary plaster and painted portrait of Nefertiti herself, sculpted in sinuous relief. Go to any museum today and you'll find a reproduction of this head and shoulders of a woman who can rightly be called the first free-spirited, emancipated female in history. If Nefertiti lived today, aside from her stunning looks and bearing, she'd be regarded as most modern.
I now had two children. Akhenaten, who was three, and Tutankhamun, still a baby. Between being a full-time mother and a part-time supervisor of the building of a new city, a full-time wife to a pharaoh who devoted his every moment to establishing a new religion of one god, the time left to myself sped as fast as the falcon flies.
Good morning, Queen Nefertiti.
Good morning, Marianis.
There are a great many state papers for you to deal with today.
Don't I know it? I've been up for hours. You'll find my replies to the army for the request of 200 new chariots, bow and arrows, and so forth in the third gold box. My reasons for saying no are there to forward.
Are you going somewhere this morning, Nefertiti?
Not likely. I've called a meeting of the sanitation department at 11.
Why are you wearing your blue hat?
The royal headdress?
Yes.
It's for him, Thutmose, the sculptor. He's supposed to be here. If being an artist means you have no idea of the time, I wish we could get along without them. But we can't. They are so irresponsible. They say he's the finest sculptor in Egypt.
But what's all that got to do with your wearing a hat?
He wants it for my official portrait. Now, Mariani, let's have what you brought me.
Your Highness, Your Highness, Your Highness. I prostrate myself. Please forgive me.
Thutmose, you are late.
I am sorry, Your Highness.
Go on, set up your easel and the sculpting stand and your plaster, whatever you like. I must go on working. The business of state cannot stop for art.
Don't worry yourself, Queen Nefertiti. Oh, I'm delighted you're wearing the blue hat. It will set off your face magnificently.
You don't mind working in silence, do you, Thutmose? It's a little hard to concentrate while we're chatting, and I have a table full of state matters that must be dealt with. Do you know my personal assistant, Mariani?
How do you do? How do you do? I'll just set up over here by the window where I shan't be in the way. Oh, you have your little baby here in a crib. Isn't he a love? He must be Tutankhamun. I'd loathe being late, especially on such an important occasion as doing the Queen's head. You have no idea how much I've been looking forward to this day.
What kept you?
Well, I couldn't get through the Royal Road. It is so torn up, you wouldn't believe it. It's a battlefield of paving stones. I finally stopped my carriage and got to the palace on foot.
I told them to tear up all that black pavement. Tear it up, get rid of it. If those builders can't find pure white stone, I'd rather they pack the earth down. At least it would be the right color.
Now, before we start, dear Queen, I brought you a little something.
Oh, I love presents. Will you unwrap it for me, Tutmus? A little statuette. Very nice indeed. What is it?
A portrait, full length, of your boy.
Of who? Tutankhamun? This is supposed to be him?
You don't like it?
Mariani, do you see any resemblance?
There isn't supposed to be a resemblance.
Why not?
It's the custom, dear Queen.
Custom? This dwarf, stick figure could be anybody. My great-grandfather, the General Horonrab, anybody.
Nefertiti, I don't see how you can say that. It's a beautifully fashioned statuette.
But it's not my son, Tutankhamun.
Your Highness, I really don't understand the fuss. What is it that you want?
I want life. I want your art to imitate life itself. I've always hated our stylized portraits. I want reality in plaster, limestone, wood, anything.
You mean to really look real?
From now on, Tutmus, art must change. No more dwarf figures, no more scarecrows, no more lies. I'm not attacking you, dear Master Sculptor. I've far too much respect for that. Everyone knows you are Egypt's greatest artist. But if this new city, Amarna, is to be the city of truth, then our art must be equally truthful.
Realism? I can't wait to get started. Oh, my wondrous queen, if you only knew what you have done for me. I, too, have always hated those awful statues that tradition compelled me to carve, where everybody's face could be anybody's face. Let me get started.
Nefertiti, are you sure?
The queen is always sure.
Oh, my queen, you have reached my heart. All my life, I knew something was missing. And now, to carve and paint what I see, a real smile.
Over here, Tutmus. This here, I've got a table in the corner.
Oh, am I glad this day is over. That Nefertiti, she is one big package of surprises, I tell you.
You think you had a bad day? You just try being the scribe for Akhenaten and take down his dictation. He is so particular. Every single word.
Nefertiti's quite difficult, too. Confused me completely. Wait till I tell you.
Well, that's quite a royal pair we've got on the throne these days. I almost quit today.
You're joking. What? There isn't a scribe in all Egypt who wouldn't like your job.
Yes, and welcome to it. It's nerve-wracking and thankless. No matter what I do, it's wrong. The Pharaoh doesn't think I write fast enough. Only one thing keeps me from throwing the papyrus right in Akhenaten's face.
What's that? Horus forbid.
Yes, I'm afraid he'd have me killed.
Oh, no, he wouldn't. The Pharaoh is the last person in the world to order such punishment.
Are you sure?
Akhenaten is too concerned with his new religion and philosophies. He's a dreamer. And dreamers don't act. Not violently.
Well, they're an interesting pair.
You have to admire them. A lot of my friends in Thebes have started to come here to Amarna. This is a new world, Mayhew. A new city.
Yes, city of truth. Isn't that what they call it?
I came to the palace today to do her portrait. Nefertiti wants her plaster portrait to be as lifelike as I can make it. Think of the opportunity. Tomorrow at noon we start. We live in a wonderful age, my friend.
Good morning, my queen. I've brought you the 7 gold trays containing today's business.
Put them in their usual place on my table. Mariani, have you seen my little daughter today?
Nefertiti?
No. Where is she? She didn't come to kiss me good morning.
The Pharaoh took her with him very early. They went to the Greek temple of Aton.
Good. I like that. Remind me, Mariani, to inform the exchequer that when the workmen take time off to build their own houses on the Avenue extension, they are to receive full wages.
I'll make a note of that.
What is it, Mariani? Why are you standing there in that funny way? Are you holding something behind your back?
This little basket was left on the steps to your door. I don't know how it got there exactly.
What are you being so mysterious about? A basket.
It's a gift. Someone's left you a gift.
For me? Where is that someone?
Outside.
Let me open the basket and see.
A kitten from Persia.
Oh, you sweet darling. Look how white and fluffy he is. A kitten.
No, wait. Is it Hornrab? General Hornrab? But it can't be.
Why not? Why shouldn't the general of the Egyptian army visit his queen? Hello, Mariani.
Good day, General.
Mariani, don't go. Stay.
I had better. I'm beginning to get a little concerned about Mekhtarten. She isn't used to being out in the sun that much.
Oh, she's with her father. You told me, so no harm can come to her.
Still, I'm worried.
I see nothing has changed.
No, it hasn't. Mariani still does my worrying for me. Mariani, all right. Here, take the kitten. When Mekhtarten gets back, you let her play with it. She'll love it. So white and soft and furry. Hornrab, thank you very, very much. You know what a kitten means to me. The one man, Mariani, who never brings me flowers, but always kittens.
I take my leave of you, Your Majesty.
Tell my little daughter we shall call it Mew Mew the Second.
How old is she?
Almost 6 years old.
Has it been that long?
Let me look at you, dear General. You haven't changed.
Well, not on the outside, perhaps. Well, you have blossomed, Nefertiti.
Have I?
As has your city of truth.
What brings you to Amarna?
I need help. We all need help. In fact, we need a miracle, Nefertiti.
Dear friend of my childhood, you never did waste time on small talk, did you?
If we want to survive as a nation, something must be done immediately.
Surely, if Egypt is in danger, you and the army can take care of any enemy.
That's what I meant when I said we need a miracle. If the pharaoh has any influence over Aton, the sun god, now is the time to use it. Otherwise, my dear, beautiful Nefertiti, we are all lost.
Did this really happen? Are those we have met, Nefertiti the queen, Horenrob the general, Thutmes the sculptor, Mariani, are they real? Did they live? They did. How do we know? By reading the inscriptions on the tombs, words on the scarabs, cuneiform correspondence between Asiatic kings and the pharaohs. Archaeology is pure detective work, and the solution is history. I shall return shortly with Act Two. Let me prove to you that so far as ancient Egypt is concerned, one word is worth a thousand pictures. Of our city of truth, Amarna today, nothing remains to be seen, only the ruins and your imagination. Picture this in your mind's eye. A complex of buildings 8 miles along the Nile, 3 miles deep. Mansions of nobles and public officials. Military and police barracks, storehouses, customs houses, workmen's houses, temples, and palaces. And the greatest of these, with hundreds of rooms and colonnades opening into sunken gardens and water lily pools, the royal palace is larger than Versailles and Fontainebleau combined. You see it? Of course you do. And inside that palace, Nefertiti and her visitor talk.
What do you mean, General Horenrab, Egypt is lost?
We must, without delay, launch a full-scale attack on the Hittites and wipe them out right at home before they can get their war machine started.
We've heard nothing of this danger here in Amarna. Why didn't Thebes inform us?
Why should they? You've got no friends in Thebes. Not one government official, not a nobleman, not a priest.
You're mad.
Yes, that's exactly what they say about Akhenaten and you, Nefertiti. Mad. In all the history of 18 dynasties, you both are the least liked of any reigning monarchs.
Stop that. I, the queen of all Egypt, have not given you permission to talk like that.
Nefertiti, I am not a stranger. I am Horenrab, your general, supreme commander of the Eastern armies. Now, isn't this the city of truth? Or is the truth only for your subjects and not for yourself?
I don't know why I make myself angry. What do I expect from Thebes? From those simple-minded, superstitious fools?
I suppose, as queen, you could expect loyalty. You cannot ransack a temple and keep its high priest for a friend. You cannot take all the gold there is in the treasury and expect thanks in return.
Such decisions are made here. Egypt is being governed from Amarna.
Egypt is not being governed at all. You and Akhenaten are concerned only with taking every sack of gold you can lay your hands on from Memphis to Luxor to spend on this toy city.
Horenrab, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, of course not. I am stupid. I have no idea how much gold it takes for new streets and new houses and palaces and temples to Aton for this entire make-believe city. The price, Nefertiti, is the safety of Egypt.
There is no better use for gold than to build a new awakening.
May Horus still my angry tongue. What about your defenses, your army?
What army?
Exactly. What army? We have no army. It has been disbanded by order of your mighty husband, the Pharaoh.
But why?
Because that soft-headed, turn-the-other-cheek Akhenaten thinks everybody loves him at home and abroad. Because the both of you believe in love and peace, you think the rest of the world does. Now, Egypt is a great prize for the strong.
Have you tried to talk peace with them?
Certainly. Oh, the Hittites received me most cordially. King Hatti told me, let us all disarm.
You see, there is brotherly love. He wants peace.
Oh, what a child you are. What he means is we should disarm first. Thank Horus he has no idea that there's no money to pay our troops. Or perhaps he knows. There are spies everywhere. Now, I am here to ask for money and permission to attack them first. I am general of an undermanned, starved-out crowd of veterans. Now, will you talk to Akhenaten, Nefertiti, by all that is sacred to you, your ancestors, your love of Egypt? Help me. Help Egypt.
Queen Nefertiti, I'm very worried. The child is not back. I hope she's still with the king.
Of course she is. Her father wouldn't let her out of his sight. No harm can come to her. General Horenrab, thank you for the Persian kitten. It was thoughtful of you. If you will make yourself comfortable in the palace, I shall arrange for you and the Pharaoh to discuss your needs this afternoon.
As you wish, Your Highness, I take my leave.
Mariani, give me my blue turban. It's time for Tutmis the sculptor to arrive.
Yes.
I wish I didn't have to go through this nonsense.
Well, why do you?
It's all my husband's idea. He wants Tutmis to make an exact likeness, then have copies made and placed in every single temple courtyard in Egypt. I don't believe in such public notice, but my husband does.
My queen? Queen Nefertiti?
Just a moment, Tutmis. Yes, Mariani, do come in. I have some dispatches to go out.
Yes. Your Majesty, could you not move so much?
I told you in advance, Tutmis. I don't have the time to sit for you. If you can do your work while I do mine, we shall get along splendidly.
Well, could you hold your head a little higher?
Oh.
The hat, Your Majesty.
My hat? This blue turban? You asked me to wear it.
I know I did, but...
What's wrong with it?
I adore it, my queen, but there is... how can I say it? Too much hat. When you bend forward over the table while you're working, all I can see is the hat and no face. And Egypt loves the face. May I suggest that... Mariani, would you be good enough to tilt Queen Nefertiti's hat a little to one side?
Oh, all right. Excuse me, Your Highness. Like so.
Mariani, hold a hand mirror before the queen so she can see the effect. Perfect. At an angle.
What do you think, Nefertiti?
Hold the mirror still. No! I wear the royal headdress so, straight. I do not wear it on one side. I never wear it tilted on one side.
It's up to you, my queen, but...
Tutmis, you may leave me now. I cannot pose any longer.
Oh, as you wish. I'll just cover the clay and plaster, then be on my way.
Forgive me if I've been a little testy, but there is so much to do.
Oh, for me, Queen Nefertiti, you can do no wrong.
Is he gone, Mariani?
Yes.
Come over here to his sculptor's stand. I want to look at what he's been working on. Now, I'll remove the cloth. What do you think?
Oh. An extraordinary likeness, Nefertiti.
Is that all?
Do you wish me to be completely honest?
Yes, I do.
Your face, the expression, it's sad. Too sad.
I thought so. That is how I felt today. Tomorrow I must look happier. I knew it was true what Horenrab had said, and it haunted me. Akhenaten, intent on being a spiritual leader, was failing Egypt as a leader of the living. And I was devoting too much of myself in creating a city of sun, of life, of art and joy. We had cut ourselves off from the rest of the nation. And the truth was, Amarna could be neither Akhenaten's mausoleum or Nefertiti's Mecca, so long as swords were pointed at Egypt.
Mehu, the scribe.
What?
You're not listening to me.
I am, Great Pharaoh. It's just that I look over there and it's a little warm in the temple center court, you understand. The sun beating right down in the middle of the day, no roof, and that little child...
That sun is our god. He is shining our way to everlasting life.
I couldn't agree with you more, King Akhenaten.
Now, where were we?
You had just said... I have built shrines and temples in honor of the gods...
Wait. Let me see that papyrus.
Oh, imbecile. Dolt. Who told you in honor of the gods? It is God. G-O-D. Singular. Don't you know what our religion is?
It was an unfortunate slip.
See that the stonecutters get this much of the text. Don't touch a word.
King Akhenaten... Your daughter, Meketaton, is still kneeling where you left her to pray several hours ago.
Naturally.
But she's very little, and it is very hot on the granite altar stones.
I have asked no more of her than any pharaoh of his royal offspring. I want the prayer to Aton to be remembered, and when she knows it, she can get to her feet and run around and play.
Are you ready to meet with me now, Nefertiti?
Ah, Horenrab. What have you been doing?
I used the past hours to explore your dream city. No question. It is a city of sunlight. It outdoes anything in Thebes or Luxor. I congratulate you on your imaginative planning. The gardens, the fountains.
You like it. Now, wasn't it worth all the effect?
The whole city shows the results of much preparation and thought.
Years of it. Do you know, Horenrab, before we could put up a single building, we had to sink wells for water, dig drainage ditches, set up workshops to cut and carve all the building materials.
Nefertiti... The same care and planning you've done for this city, you should be doing to preserve Egypt from outsiders.
Don't say any more, please. I've been thinking a lot about what you said. One must face the truth.
Sunlight and idealisms are truths, but so are black clouds and danger.
You've made me realize that, Horenrab. Mariani.
Your Majesty.
Has the king returned?
No, he hasn't. Or little Meketaten.
What's the hour?
5 hours after high noon.
If the king on the mountain will not come to his queen, then Nefertiti must go to the mountain. Come, Horenrab, and you too, Mariani. We must go to the great temple and present my husband with the truth.
Scribe, have you got that down?
Every word, O Pharaoh.
Then add this. There will be 100 statues, each 13 feet high... giving us one for each temple. They shall be conveyed by barge as far north as Memphis, as far south as Aswan, and each statue shall be erected on the same day.
I believe that is the queen approaching. She has a military man with her.
Nefertiti? What's she doing up here?
Akhenaten, I bring Horenrab.
I'm very busy now. I cannot talk to him.
You will talk to him. Akhenaten, where is our daughter?
Over there, in the center of the temple.
What do you have her doing?
She's on her knees, praying. What else should she be doing in the great temple to Aton?
Child of 5? In all this heat?
Meketaten! Darling child! Oh, no! Horenrab! Someone's in here! Come quickly! Help me!
A little child kneeling at prayer in the blazing sun suddenly collapses. A queen cries out in fear. A strong enemy prepares to attack a weak Egypt. Can one or any of the ancient gods intercede? Or, as we have come to know today, does not man himself decide his destiny? I shall return shortly with Act 3. Sources of this story was dug up in Amarna. Clay tablets of correspondence set down by a professional scribe and still decipherable. It enabled us to recreate this account of this beautiful, adored woman of ancient Egypt
married to a man of royal lineage who rebelled against the pagan worship and human sacrifice of his ancestors. For Akhenaten was the first monarch in Egyptian history to believe in one God.
What God? What God would have permitted this?
Mariana, attend your mistress. I'll carry the poor little body back to the palace.
What? You're
so helpful.
We're being hunted. Athon, the sun god, is false. It was the rays of Athon which destroyed my innocent little one. Athon is evil. Do you hear me, husband? He's evil. Enough. Oh, yes. Hit me, almighty hell. Slap me because my words have offended the great king. You're as evil as your god. We are betrayed.
All of us. Never see please. I couldn't help myself. Please, please, I cannot bear to see you cry.
Where are your tears? Your God has killed our firstborn in the other. The old gods will kill us all.
Oh, no. No, Nefertiti, it is an honor to be the first to be claimed by Atron.
You are mad. We are cursed, all of us. I shall never bear another child. The gods will never forgive me.
Nefertiti, little queen. There is one small secret temple. Yes, here in Amun. For those who still believe in Amun, Isis, and Osiris, every day prayers have gone to them.
Oh. Now I understand. No wonder Aton, the god of the sun, has taken our child from us. So there is a secret temple and secret worshippers under my very nose.
Oh, they do not know what vengeance is.
Now they will know. Go! The sight of you all sickens me. You're all unclean and unworthy to stand in this great temple in the sight of the sun. Go! I fall on my knees before thee, great God of the sun, and pray for your guidance. I thought we could show others by example. We would lead and they would follow. I was wrong. Forgive me, I have dishonored thy presence. I promise thee, in the name of that dear dead child, that every picture, every statue, every tomb from one end of the Nile to the other honoring a false god will disappear. All will be destroyed. Forgive me, Athon!
Workmen with strong hands, armed with hammers and chisels, went forth into Egypt, disfiguring and destroying in a wholesale slaughter of our sacred city. I had come to realize I was madly a madman. What other explanation was there? So I moved from the royal palace to the northern palace. We would be separate, but equal. Both our orders were regarded as law.
Queen Nefertiti, I bring you good tidings. Messengers from General Horonat have arrived.
What do they say?
Victory is ours. The Hittite king is slain.
Why must strength and death go hand in hand?
There is a difficulty with this, Audrey. He has been with his dawn.
Who is it?
The Master Scribe.
What does he wish?
He has a personal word from the Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh has asked me to tell you he loves you. He wishes you would return to the royal palace. From his heart, he will forgive you for your intentions.
He will forgive me?
His words, your majesty.
He, the sinner incarnate, will forgive me?
My only sin is to obey my father and marry a king. I shall never return to the Pharaoh's side. And you can tell him so, Scribe. Never.
He is very sick, my queen.
Explain yourself.
The Pharaoh keeps to himself and sees few people. I have been with him when he would become violent and nothing would please him. Yes, and last night I came to him for dictation as always. And suddenly he shrieked at the top of his lungs in pain and cried and wept like a child, beating his hands about his head.
When we were first married, he suffered terrible aches of the head that I thought they had gone wrong. Is there anything else, Guy?
The Pharaoh seems to be poisoned. After every meal, he's sick to his stomach. The food stays much with him.
Thank you, Guy. You may leave me.
Yes, I am honored, great queen. You have been kind to me.
Marianne?
Yes, Mr. Pretty?
You heard the cry?
I was outside listening.
What should I do? How can I believe you?
Listen to your heart.
Mr. Dessert? I cannot promise him to remain, but I cannot be so uncharitable as to say that.
Nefertiti, I never thought you would come.
I was told you are not well.
Oh, nothing at all. Slight indisposition.
There are dark circles under your eyes. Do you not sleep?
I sleep perfectly.
You look thin. Thinner than I remember you.
Don't you eat? If you come back to criticize, do you really think that all these months we've lived apart, two forces ruling over one kingdom, that I've been pining away for you?
Your scribe told me you wished me for your son, so I have.
Yes. Well, it's because on the 21st of next year there's the annual festival, tribute from our vassal nations, and I wanted you to be at my side. I'd ask Cutmus to make a drawing of us together.
What can happen? You didn't ask me back only for a festival. You do love me.
I do. I always have.
It was the memory of our love, the two dreams we sailed on the Nile to find the city of truth, that made me come back to you.
Husband. Do you love me, Nefertiti?
I love the man you are. The man you have become is a stranger to me.
How am I different?
How? In so many ways. Why, I don't know.
Cannot you love me as I am, not as I was?
A woman who is once loved always wishes she could have again. But it's all different now. I am different.
What changed you?
I think when little Macatotten died, something died within me also. I cannot blame you. You believed you were doing right to ask that small child to remain unamused to cross.
You died a martyr.
I said I didn't blame you.
You do it through that on the sun.
We are two people with two minds. And now, two beliefs. I returned to the royal palace. Not that my love for my husband was so great, but my fears for his well-being were greater. So I did his bidding and became his wife again.
Welcome, oh, to Nefertiti. Am I interrupting?
Got me. No. I was just staring out the window at the sky.
The sailor has asked me to sketch the two of you at the window of appearances, welcoming the foreign vassal still.
Whatever happened to that likeness you were doing with me some time ago?
Oh, I hid it. When you went to the Northern Palace, the sailor rampaged around here like a wild boar. I was afraid the box would be destroyed.
Did you ever complete it?
No, without you, I couldn't finish. A few more sittings could do it.
Certainly. What if one day I came to your workshop and you finished the portrait of me in my blue hat there?
You would come to my workshop?
I would. In secret. At least to offer myself to art would be something worthwhile. As I look back on it now, perhaps I was wrong. But I knew Cutmus was a great, great artist. And so, for many weeks, I would go to his workshop and say, not only wearing the blue hat, but often for a portrait, wearing a fresh little accent.
Oh, I'm tired, Nefertiti. Do you mind if I start working on the marble today?
I'm standing still in one place and a little tired myself.
Yes. When you're dressed, let us sit down and have a cup of wine.
I cannot remain long, Captain. The emissaries of our supreme commander have asked for an audience.
You mean Horace, that? He didn't come himself?
Is that so surprising?
Well, Nefertiti, there's always been talk about you and him.
There always will be talk. Some people have nothing better to do. Whether it's the foreign rats, whom I've known since we were children, or you, partner. There'll be talk about you, if there isn't already.
Do you think so? Does it matter, dear Nefertiti?
That's what I ask myself. Since I've accepted my husband, 48, the building of Armana doesn't interest me anymore. Let them talk.
You have lost the daughter. Isn't that the real reason?
We called her Mechatotten. Do you know what that means, dear Tutton? Protected by Atom.
She's with the god.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I must. Don't you?
I don't let myself think about it. Time to go. You know what I haven't looked at in ages? Me in the blue hat. Where is it? You worked on it when I first came here, then you put it away. Perhaps it will make me feel less sad.
Nefertiti, let me put my arms about you to comfort you. You're so very close to me. Have you no personal feelings for me?
No. Not that personal. Ah, here's the head on the corner of the shelf. You were right. The blue turban is an asset.
Nefertiti, my heart is filled with you.
But yes, I may be an unhappy queen, but I am still queen. And you, our servant. What is that? My left eye isn't there. It's blank. You haven't finished it.
No, everything but that eye.
Certainly, complete the head and bring it to the palace. I'd like my husband to see it.
My queen, you do not know me. My body may be your servant, but not my spirit. I shall decide who will see the portrait. I made it. It's mine. And always will be.
I command you to paint in that left eye and bring the finished work to the palace.
I shall not.
You would leave it like this. Disfigured.
You have disfigured me. If all I am to be left with is a head with one eye, so be it. Nefertiti, there has been much talk in court about other men.
You should dislike it.
It is of no matter to me whatsoever. I have no feelings for you.
Where is all that love and need you threw at me so that I would return and live with you?
Gone. Perhaps it never existed.
I know my love for you did exist once. What do you wish?
We must have more children.
We have Captain Carmen and several little girls.
I want more children.
What night do you wish me to come to you?
You never asked me that when we were first married.
I did not know that my firstborn little girl would be taken to me so soon. Not that you care about life. So close for her. Never to hold her to my breast. Love. Take her out and kiss her. Kiss her. All that has been taken from me. I have been wrong of that now.
You will come to me tonight, my little Peter. Leave the past alone. What is broken cannot be mended.
I cannot move right. What was broken could not be mended. Be a child, yes. But the great ran deep. We could never be husband and wife again. For the first time in my life, I felt it was worthless and fruitless to go on. One resolve, and only one second going, to return the keys and to bury my daughter now lying in some underground crypt in the palace. To bury her with the old and sacred funeral rites. Until then, I would be a head of state in name only. As the sculptor had said, I would only see life as a head with one eye.
It's pure conjecture why the left eye of the famous bust of Nefertiti is missing. But archaeologists are all agreed it is missing. It was not damaged. It was never there. So we are left with a painted plaster, one-eyed beauty, and assumptions. Guesses.
More when I return to tell you about the final chapter in this extraordinary story.
There are those who may believe our account is fiction. For those, I refer you to John D.S. Pendlebury, the great Egyptologist, who writes, "There is not another family in all of world history whose images are so heartrending in their misfortune." The fifth and last episode is for next time, concluding the tale of a woman whose beautiful face is today known to millions, but whose life as a queen, mother, philosopher, and activist is only beginning to come to light. Our cast included Tammy Grimes, Russell Horton, Evie Juster, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now a preview of the next exciting drama in our five-part anthology of Egypt's Golden Age, starring Tammy Grimes.
You don't understand.
Get away from me.
Come down from those steps.
I don't want you near me, don't you understand?
You don't know me anymore, please.
I'm standing here on the top step. Don't you come any closer.
It's your bed, dearest one. We are husband and wife.
Stay where you are. Failure is written all over you. Enemies around you, enemies at home. What is your god Aton, the sun, done for Egypt? Do you know what I have hidden behind this curtain? There.
Ah!
Look. There they are. My gods. Thoth, the standing baboon. So bet the crocodile. They protect me.
You traitor.
And what has he done for us, your one god? Where is he?
I am Aton. I am God.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tomorrow night for part five on Radio Mystery Theater of Egypt's Golden Age.
At ADP, we work with more than 860,000 companies worldwide. That gives us a pretty good idea of how to help businesses grow stronger. Whether it's through data insights that help you make informed decisions about building a team that works better as a team, or by keeping you ahead of thousands of changing regulations so you can keep ahead of everything else, like building that better team. Grow stronger with ADP. HR, talent, time, and payroll.